You're listening to DNFM. I'm Sam Solomon. DNFM features the latest stories in design and tech brought to you by Designer News. This is episode 5. My guest is a Belgian designer who dropped out of school and left for the US to join the startup world. He's twice joined companies that were purchased by Facebook. Today's guest is, of course, Tim Van Dam. You may know Tim from his work at Instagram or at Dropbox. We'll talk about his career, his big move, and the highs and lows that came after that. Additionally, I'll try and coax him into telling us a little bit about Abstract, the secret design tool he's been working on with Frank Camaro. We'll see what happens. But first, the announcements. So, what's new with the Designer News community? Well, Jody has been hard at work. You now have more options for sorting stories. You can sort your DN feed by top daily, weekly, monthly, or even yearly stories. Additionally, now you can even sort by badge type. So if you're like me and you're the type of person that favorites every single site design post, now you don't have to do that anymore. All you have to do is go and filter by badge. So if you do discover any bugs or have any feedback, please reach out to Jody on Twitter at Jody Havener. As far as Designer News meetups go, we'll be in San Francisco on October 13th at Udemy. Again, that's October 13th in San Francisco. So come out, drink a beer, have a chat with some of your favorite internet friends. Okay, that's it. My guest today is Tim Van Dam. He's currently a designer at Abstract, which is building an organizational tool for designers. Previously, Tim was a designer at Instagram as well as Dropbox. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Hey, Sam. Thanks for having me.
I know you guys have been very secretive about what you're working on at Abstract, but can you tell us anything more about what you're building?
Not a lot. What I can tell is pretty much what's out there, like we're working on a tool for design teams. That's about it.
Tim, I imagine a designer with your resume could go about anywhere. What drew you to Abstract?
Well, I've known the team, the founding team for quite a while. Josh Brewer, Kevin Smith, and Frank Camaro. We've been internet friends for many, many years. And occasionally I would swing by their office and they would show me whatever they were working on. They've gone through a phase of exploring a lot of different things. During the last time I went over, they showed me a new prototype they had, and it was this tech demo, and it was a bunch of apps tied together to illustrate something that they had uncovered. And it wasn't like a recruiting thing or anything. It was just a bunch of friends giving feedback. I think about halfway throughout that meeting, I basically asked them, like, can I come work here? I was surprised to hear me ask that question. They were surprised as well. But it was just like the thing that I saw at that point, like, even though it doesn't look anything like what the product is going to look like in the end, there was something there, something that I hadn't seen before. And I could just sense the potential of what they were on to.
Wow. So what you saw was so powerful that, you know, after seeing this proof of concept, you decided that you needed to be a part of this.
Yeah. Yeah. This is very much about building something what I feel is the right thing. I mean, I saw the prototype, and I just back my head when like this is going to have a massive impact on how designers do design. And I've always been a fan of basically supporting the design community and giving back. Like a lot of the people who've been doing this for a decade or longer, like they've been learning everything from each other. Like people would write books, people would write blogs, people would make sure that their personal websites had really good markup. So it was easy to kind of dive in and read through how they're doing things. So it's all about sharing of knowledge, and it's all about giving back at the end, because it was all free back then. Design education wasn't as strong as it is today. So yeah, any opportunity I get to help the community, give back, I'm up for it. I want to do it, and this is definitely one of those scenarios.
Well, Tim, I won't push you any further. I will say I'm very, very excited about the product. I'd like to take a step back. You were working as a freelancer in Belgium. This was after you had quit school, and you were looking to move to the U.S. What was interesting about the U.S.? Why America?
I grew up watching a lot of American movies and American TV shows and all that, so that definitely was part of it. Like this dream of living in America for a while and seeing what life is out there. Also, just because so much of the best design work was being done in the U.S. Like it's back then, it was a lot U.K. and U.S. But the U.S. is a lot bigger volume-wise and has a lot more design professionals working there. So I think that's another point of attraction to move to the U.S.
And the company you came here to work for was Gowalla. How'd you get involved with them?
I just emailed Josh Williams one day. They had a job opening, and I asked them, would you guys be interested in talking to this crazy Belgian designer? I mean, English is not my first language, so I have a limited vocabulary, which means I have to resort to a lot of cursing. It's just a...
That's a default?
It makes it easier. He responded and he's like, yeah, we're interested in chatting. They flew me over for a 2-week tryout. What I really love about that is they paid me as a freelancer. So it wasn't like come over here and do a bunch of work because we want to interview you, which is kind of like the norm today. It was like, yeah, we're gonna pay you your hourly rate. We're gonna put you with the team, and here's an actual project that we want you to work on, which was a redesign of the homepage. So I worked with Keegan Jones. We collaborated on the design, and then with all the engineers. And at the end of my stay. Like I loved the team and they liked working with me. So he made me an offer.
Tim, that must have been a pretty big decision. I mean, it's not like you were moving to, you know, the next state or the next town. I mean, you were moving across the world, basically. What did your friends and family think?
Friends thought we were crazy. Family, they were supportive. They've always been supportive. So that's cool. I was 25. My wife was 25 as well when we did the move. Life is a lot more simpler when you're that age. So I think we made the decision without really thinking things through too much. I'm kind of glad we didn't think things through. We would have maybe not decided not to do it. But yeah, it was a big move.
So you guys did decide to make the move. You pack your bags. You move to the U.S. You start working at Gowalla. Things are going pretty well. You're here for a year and a half, 2 years, I think. And then the company gets bought by Facebook. What happened when Gowalla was purchased by Facebook?
They basically came in and they had a list of job openings at that point in time at Facebook. So they interviewed everyone and then they made a short list of the people that they wanted to take with them in the acquisition.
Were you on that list?
My name was not on that list, which I understand. I think it's a while ago, and people evolve year over year, especially when you're doing design work or even when you're doing engineering like that. The whole everything, all the tools that you use, all the output you create changes every single year. So with every year that passes, you gain more experience and you get better and better at your job. And I think at that point it was the right decision, to not hire me.
You think that Facebook chose not to hire you because your skills weren't up to par at the time?
I think skills wise, I probably would have met the bar. It's more about maturity and knowing how to work in a larger team. That's all experience that I was lacking at that point. I was still fresh out of Europe, 1 year working with a team. So,
in the startup world, I feel like when a company gets acquired by a larger company like Facebook, that's usually a time for celebration. In this instance, you don't see it that way.
Well, we were all sad. Like, we all loved building Gualla. We all loved using Gualla. It was a super fun product, and people were really passionate about it, especially down in Austin, Texas, where you would go to a show and people would be checking in and posting photos to Gualla. Just that whole feeling of the community around me actually uses what we build and they enjoy using it, that's indescribable.
Knowing that people get value out of something you've built, that's such a good feeling as a designer.
Yeah.
So after Gualla, you left to go join the Instagram team. How did that happen? Did they find you, or were you recruited? What's the story there?
Basically, same story. I reached out to Kevin and like, hey, I love the product that you guys are building. Like, this was back when they were really, really small. It was right before it kind of all exploded. And explained to him, like, hey, if you ever need any design help, I'm looking. Lucky for me, they needed a designer. They knew they needed a designer. They didn't have anyone full-time on staff. They just didn't have the resources to look for one. So I came knocking at the perfect time. And then two phone calls and a PDF signing after that, like, I started working for them.
Wow. So you emailed two founders and got two jobs. That's a pretty good track record.
Yeah.
So it worked really well for you. But would you recommend someone who's perhaps a student that's graduating or someone who's looking for their next gig, would you recommend they just skip the application process and send an email to a founder?
I would say yes. I think all the founders these days are they're dealing with a lot more noise when it comes to like incoming emails and all that, because the industry has grown by a ton. There are a lot more professionals out there looking today compared to 4 or 5 years ago. Shoot them an email and be down to earth. Like, hey, this is who I am. This is what I do, what I'm good at. This is how I think I could be of value in your company. Don't go off and tell them that their design is shit and you wanna fix everything. That's just not how, like, that's not what they want to hear. They want to hear from someone who knows what they're doing, who are humble enough to not take your entire design down, because who knows what went on behind the scenes to get that design in place. Like, startups or bigger tech companies, they're complicated animals, and anything that launches, like, the way it launches is, there are a lot of reasons why it launches that way. It might be great design, it might be poor design, but it's not just that they just pushed it out for no reason. So be respectful of that.
You know, Tim, I think you're right. Design decisions are always really tough. And likely from the outside, you don't have the view of the decisions and the rationale that the team put together to arrive at that solution. So I think being respectful is absolutely the right thing to do. So you got the job at Instagram. What were some of the early things that the company needed? What were some of the early things that you were working on there?
When I came in, my first project was basically a quick reskin of all the main Chrome in the iPhone app, because back then that was the only thing they had, a simple iPhone app. They had a bunch of like jeans-like textures going on in the headers, so I just smoothened all that out, made it easier to scale if new buttons or actions had to be added, made things a bit more consistent throughout the app. That was my first job there. after that, we had some smaller projects, like the photos on a map, and then it was time to start working on the Android app. So that was a really big project, trying to like translate everything from iOS to Android.
Tim, what were some of the big challenges about taking a product that was basically completely on iOS and translating that to Android?
I think the biggest challenge for me personally was I never touched an Android device before I started working on that project, which is why the initial version of Instagram on iOS looks so much like an iOS app, because it was basically the only thing I knew how to design. Like the only mobile design language I mastered was iOS.
So now you've been working on this new application, Instagram, which you love, and once again, Facebook comes knocking and purchases Instagram. What was this day like, and how was it different?
For me and for one other guy who came from Guala as well, it was just it was a big what the fuck moment. Like the first second they shared the news, and then it kind of started sinking in. And I don't know, it just seemed like a good idea. The promises they made, and also the promises they kept, was like the Instagram team is going to remain the Instagram team, and it will become an entity inside of the Facebook walls. And what it basically came down to is the logo on your paycheck is no longer Instagram. It's now Facebook. That was the opposite of what happened with Guala. And it's also why I think everyone at Instagram was cool with the acquisition. We saw the growth that was happening, and I think we all realized like it would be hard to sustain this growth as a small team, like the team we have today. Like there need to be more resources in order to support this and build this thing out so it's bigger than what it is today. So yeah, the entire team was very, very positive, because it was not a typical acquisition where the team is being pulled apart. And like, all right, you're pretty good at this. You're going to join this team, and you two are pretty good at this. You're going to join this other team. Like we got a nice space. It's at the Facebook campus, and we did some of our best work from there.
Was the logo on your paycheck the only thing that changed? I mean, I'd imagine that moving inside of a company that, you know, has 1,000 people when you're a team of a dozen or so, you know, that must have been different.
Honestly, not that much. We were still the same team. We just we had a lot more resources we could rely on. Facebook helped us a ton to recruit more people. They helped us with scaling the infrastructure, like all those photos. They kept going on to servers, and the servers kept going down whenever Bieber uploaded a new photo, just because they couldn't handle the massive amounts of traffic. So we had the Facebook server team help us out, the recruiting team help us out. Occasionally, another team would walk by, like, hey, we're doing something with photos. We'd love to have your feedback, all that. It was a really, really nice environment to work.
So you continue to work at Instagram within Facebook for another year or two, but then you left Instagram to join the Dropbox team. Why was it the right time to move on then?
It was a very personal decision. Up till that point, I've always either worked by myself or in small teams where my main responsibility would be a very isolated set of work that had to be done. At Guala, I was the only iOS designer. At Instagram, I was the only mobile designer. Even though we had other designers on the team, there wasn't a lot of collaboration. Now, as the Instagram team started growing, I felt that I was extremely limited when it came to working in team. I just never experienced it. So I made the decision that it's time for me to learn new things. And the most important one of them is how do you properly work with a design team? So at that point in time, Dropbox they still have a phenomenal design team, a bunch of people that I highly respect that. And I decided to go interview there because those were all people that I wanted to work with and people I believed were nice enough to kind of take me under their wings and teach me what it takes to be a good team player.
So I'm kind of in the same position as you were then. I've either always worked by myself or on very small teams. What specific challenges did you have trying to learn how to work in larger teams?
It's basically a new skill set that you have to create. You need to be really good at being able to communicate ideas. There's a lot more criticism, obviously, because there are a lot more decision makers in the room. So you need to be very thoughtful of your design process. And it's no longer like we're a small team. We need to make decisions fast. We're gonna explore one option and then also ship it because it's the fastest thing we can do. You need to be a lot more thorough in the explorations you do in your design work, and then also how you basically sell it, how you present it to the people in the company who will make decisions about what is the best direction this design should go in, because they have a lot more context about the entire company, the business side of things, and they'll make decisions with you. So right, how many explorations do I do for this? How many of those do I actually present in a meeting? I'm talking to one of the co-founders today, and he has almost no time available. Like, I should probably whip up a quick prototype and just show it on a phone, like the way it will actually look once it's implemented, all that. And just collaborating with other people as well. It, at least for me, it wasn't as easy as it sounds. But through it all, I still think that was one of the best decisions I made professionally, just to go in and be outside of my comfort zone and learn as much as possible while being at a company that just almost grew tenfold over the time I was there. So it was a big challenge, but it was very, very educational and also a lot of fun.
What were some of the early projects you worked on at Dropbox?
Coming in, the design team was one big team. So designers weren't really responsible for specific areas of the Dropbox ecosystem. It was basically projects came in and they were like handed over to designers who had the bandwidth to handle them. So the first one I did was the redesigned mailbox for iOS 7. So mailbox before was, how all iOS apps were before, like a lot of gradients, big ass buttons, all that. So it was a big, it was a quick reskin of that entire app, flattening it down, coming up with new design patterns that were still very mailboxy, but also built on top of what iOS 7 kind of accomplished. It was a couple of weeks, my first project. It was a ton of fun, just like moving fast. The mailbox team was kind of like the Instagram team inside Facebook. Like, this was the small separate entity. It was for me the perfect way to kind of roll into the working inside a big company. And then from there, I did the same with a Dropbox app, which was on paper sounds like the same exercise, but because it's a completely different team, and it is. At that point, you are inside this massive ecosystem. It took us a bit longer to finalize. A lot of decisions to be made. Like, Dropbox is a big company making a ton of money. That always brings a lot more responsibility with it. You can't just quickly redesign it the way you think. Like, there are a lot of things to consider.
Tim, the product you were talking about that you said you worked on, Mailbox, I believe Dropbox shut that application down at the end of the year. Was that something that came as a surprise to you?
No, it wasn't. We've known about it for a while before the news went public. Obviously they tell the team first, and they also explained us the reasoning behind it. That all makes sense. Again, Dropbox is an ecosystem, and there are a lot of moving parts, and every moving part is a very expensive thing to support, not just money-wise, but if you have talented people working for you, you don't want to spread them too thin across all the projects. You want to make sure that every project has enough people dedicated to it to kind of sustain it. And both Mailbox and Carousel made less sense from a business perspective, which is something I respect and I understand. There were a lot of active users, and we all enjoyed using the app, but what had to happen happened, and everyone kind of made their peace with that.
I think that's fair enough. So since you've left Dropbox to join the Abstract team, and we've kind of gone full circle, and now we're back to where we were at the beginning of this interview, well, I don't want to get you in trouble, so I'm not going to keep grilling you with questions about Abstract. There's a post on your blog called "What Do You Want to Learn From Me?" And I'd like to read a quick excerpt from it. When I started out designing websites, I'd email those who pioneered the craft. The questions I asked them feel trivial today, but the fact that 90% of the emails I sent out got a helpful reply helped me turn this passion I had into a real job. You know, I'm curious, who were some of those people that you were reaching out to, and what types of questions were you asking them?
Back then, people like John Hicks, Andy Clark, Cameron Moll, Simon Collison, and more, Verla Peters, fellow talented Belgian. All of those, Jeffrey Zeltman, same, like they're all very busy, very successful people who created this industry. Like they made it big, they made it accessible for anyone who wanted to make websites to start doing exactly that. So those are the people I would email them about, like this crazy CSS thing that just wouldn't work. And they're like, "Oh yeah, you made a typo here." I'm like, "Cool. I feel really bad now. I should have spotted that, but thank you."
So the types of questions you were asking them were actually more technical in nature, not necessarily career related.
I mean, in retrospect, I should have just Googled most of those things and actually asked them more professional career questions. But yeah, that's how it was.
Tim, but don't you think the simple fact that they returned your email, that they got back to you, now that is, however loose that may be, it is some connection that you have with those people. I mean, certainly that's worth something.
Oh, it's phenomenal. It basically set the tone for how I wanted to behave being a professional designer. Till this day, I still get emails from people, and I think I've done a pretty good job of responding to most of them. To me, it's a thing that you do if you are part of this community. Again, it comes back to you've learned so much from all these people, most of the time for free, even if you bought their book, like they didn't get rich of selling a book on CSS mastery. But like they basically taught you how to do the things that you now make a living with. So it's very, very important to respect that and show any new generation that comes in how it's done, how to behave like proper human beings, be respectful, be supportive of each other. No matter which company you work for, no matter how many conference talks you've given, it's still a small industry. And you should be respectful for the opportunity that you've been given to work in it.
I take it that you feel it is an obligation to teach and mentor and respond to those emails.
Yeah. And it doesn't feel like a burden, or like it doesn't feel like a lot of work. It's just something you do.
Well, we're nearing the end of the interview here, but I've got one question for you, Tim, and hopefully you can help me out. Who is Max Voltaire? Is that like your superhero alter ego or something?
So it's an old Counter-Strike nickname I used to have. And back then, I used to play in Counter-Strike clans and all that. And we had LAN parties every couple of weeks where we would go over to someone's house and basically hook up an entire network and just game for 48 hours straight. And we all ended up smelling bad and chips all the time. But I needed a nickname, and I was I still am a big fan of a band called the Mars Volta. So I don't know, I just looked at that name, like Mars Volta, Max Volta, sounds like a pretty cool name. I'll take it. I'll adopt it as my nickname. And then when your name is Tim Van Dam, there aren't a lot of usernames that you could use. Going forward, I always kept using the Max Voltar nickname. It was always available on every network. And then people start calling me Max at conferences. And I'm like, it's not my name, but that's cool. So I don't think there's a way back.
Tim, it's been fantastic talking with you. I'll be watching and rooting for you and the rest of the Abstract guys. You know, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
All right, folks, that's going to be it for episode 5. If you enjoyed this show, I'd encourage you to subscribe and tell your friends about it, tell them this awesome podcast you've been listening to. We're on iTunes and SoundCloud, and of course you can always listen on the web at designernews.co/podcast. As usual, we'd love to hear from you. We're on Twitter at designernewsbot, and I'm on Twitter at Samuel R. Solomon. Don't be afraid to say hi. If you're interested in supporting DNFM, please get in touch about sponsorship opportunities. We'd love to hear from you. My guest is the fantastic Tim Van Dam. I'm Sam Solomon, and this is DNFM.